Good to see you tonight in the house, Lord. I want to go back to Joel chapter number 3. Joel chapter number 3. Once again, we'll just, for the sake of time, we'll just start at verse number 14. In Joel chapter number 3. If you want to stand, you can. And we'll just read these few verses and we'll try to mind the Lord this evening. Joel chapter number 3 and verse number 14. The Bible says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." Now, we talked this morning about this feigned obedience, and we asked the question, are you faking it or is it real? Amen. As we look at this, we can see tonight, and God's speaking here, and Joel's telling us, he said, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision." There comes a time in our life when we have to make a decision. Amen. And it has to be a decision. When it comes to spiritual things, it has to be a decision of the head, but a decision of the heart. Amen. That's what God looks at. Amen. God looks at heart language. He looks at where our heart is. We can have it in our head, you know what, I'm going to do good today. I'm going to try to do better tomorrow. We can make New Year's resolutions, all kind of promises. But till we have a change in our heart, nothing's really going to happen. Amen. But when we have a change in our heart and God begins to change us from the inside out, then we begin to see a difference. And that's what Joel's saying. He said, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision." He said, it's time to make a decision. It's time to make an informed decision on what we know about God and godliness, the love that he has for us. And he said, it's time to make a decision for him. Amen. He tells us in, Joel tells us here in this minor prophet, he tells us in Joel chapter 2 in the last verse of that chapter, he says this, he said, "It shall come to pass that whosoever," I like that "whosoever," don't you? "That whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." If there's ever been a time that we need to be delivered, it's now. We need to be delivered from the strife and anguish, the things that's happening in this world. And he said, in order to do that, he said, we got to call upon his name. He said, "It shall come back that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." So what he's saying here is, he said that there's deliverance, praise God, to those that'll call upon the Lord. I'll tell you the worst, the biggest thing, the worst thing we can do is quit calling upon the Lord. We ought to call upon the Lord now more than we ever have. You say, "Preacher, we're living in tough times." That's why we need to call upon the Lord. Amen. He's the only one that can help us. He's the only one to bring us through this. Amen. He's the only one capable of delivering us out of our troubles. Amen. Praise God. And he said that multitudes in the valley of decision, those multitudes that whosoever will, praise God, if they'll call upon the Lord, he will deliver them. But we see this as Joel's playing out, and he's telling them it's time to make a decision. Amen. It's time to, he said, you've been informed, and we've been telling you. He said, it's time for you to decide, you make a decision whose side you're on. Amen. And there's a lot of people in the world today that say, "Well, you know, I do this and I do that," but praise God, it's not about what we do, but it's about who we have in our heart. It's about who we trust in. So the Bible tells us, and we told you this morning, we see this time when the Lord begins to move, and then the Lord comes back to rule and reign in this world, on earth. Amen. Now, I believe they some people that disagree with me say, "Well, he's not really coming. This is all just spiritual, praise God." Hey, I won't say the throne of David wasn't a spiritual throne. The throne of David was a physical, a real physical throne. And he said he's going to sit, that Christ is going to sit on the throne of David. Amen. David's throne is here. So the Lord's going to come back. He's going to come to rule and reign in this world. And I read in your hearing this morning, praise God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to come to rule with a rod of iron. He said, out of his mouth in Revelation chapter 19, goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nation. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. Amen. Praise God. So we see the Lord Jesus Christ. We see him come and we see him setting up his kingdom. And we see, as we talked about this morning, he sets up his throne in the valley of Jehoshaphat, Kedron Valley, and he begins to minister there, and he judges the nations, and he prepares to go in for the beginning to start the millennial reign, a 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, to me that's exciting. Because the Bible says in Isaiah that he starts to make things new, and how things begin to come together, and how the critters begin to lay with one another, and how the lion, they don't gobble up the lamb, and praise God, how the wolf will lay with the lamb, and their young can play together. And boy, that just seems like a weird thing to me. But God Almighty says that's the way it'll be. Praise God. He said they'll lay together during that time. He said it'll be a time like we've never seen or imagined in this world. And I won't say they've been a time that it was like that. I believe over there in the garden in Eden, praise God, I believe they come together. They was peace and harmony. Everything was okay until sin was found in the garden. And God Almighty had to take life, had to shed blood, and he could cover the sins of men. Praise God, he had to cover them and make garments to cover their nakedness. Amen. It's hard to imagine, amen, a place that's perfect and it's right and it's good like it's going to be during the millennium. Amen. Won't it be something to live in that? There'll be no heartache or sorrow. There'll be no things there, praise God. But even during that, there'll be a time when people, and that's why Joel's down, he said, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. He said, for the day of the Lord is near. In the valley of the cities. He said, the Lord's here. The Lord's, his approach, it's kind of like a big jet airliner. It's coming in for a landing. He said, it's making an approach. It's done made the circle. It's done lined up. And it's headed for the runway. Amen. Listen, he said, God Almighty, he said, he's headed in. It's time to make a decision. It's time to see the approach of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I pray God. I won't say this ain't popular preaching, because people want to say, they want to think that they're just going to live forever. Things just going to carry on like they've been going for years and years and decade after decade. But I want to say one day in a little while, everything's going to change. And the Lord Jesus Christ is coming on the scene. Ready or not, praise God, Brother Larry, here he'll come. Amen. Probably when they least expect it. But Joel says you need to be ready. Multitude from them, the decision time. And there'll be a lot of people that is not going to be ready. Amen. And we see as they go into this millennial period, a time when Jesus Christ will rule with a rod of iron. That means that what he says will go. Amen. It means that those that don't agree with what he says, it won't matter, praise God, because they'll do what he says anyway. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I want to do what Jesus says. We say that we do, but do we really? Amen. Do we strive and long to see him every day, to move with, to allow him to move us and follow and go with him and follow his way every day? But we see this time it's going to play out. And I can see it in my mind as we go into the millennial reign and millennial kingdom of Lord Jesus Christ ruling with a rod of iron. But there's going to be some that's an unregenerated multitude that's going to disagree. Amen. What they'll do, they'll begin to congregate as far from the central glory of Lord Jesus Christ as they can. I can see that in my mind's eye as it plays out. You know, preacher, I wouldn't say that during the millennial reign, praise God, everybody's going to flock to Jesus. They're going to love him. They're going to pray. They're going to worship and praise him because they have to. Amen. Because he's the Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. He requires that respect. Amen. Praise God, I want to say, hey, listen, he may require it, but glory be to God, I want to give it. Amen, praise God, I want to praise him and worship him because I can and not because I have to. We're living in a day and an era, we've got churches all over this country and people's worshiping because they have to. Amen. Amen. Praise God, I don't worship him because I have to, I worship him because I get to. Amen. Glory be to God. But they'll be feigned obedience to God during that time. There'll be generation after generation that'll come on the scene. And there'll be some that's talking about what it used to be like on the earth. Amen. People won't want to be held down, tied down by a God Amen. They'll want to be loose to do what they want to do. Why? Because that's the way it is now, and it ain't gonna change. Praise the Lord. Realize that He is God, and He has the best direction for us to go. He has the most help to give us. If we'll just focus on Him and love Him like He loves us, and begin to reciprocate the love of God, praise God, He begins to move upon her heart, and it won't be feigned obedience, but it'll be unfeigned obedience. Praise God, and we can just praise and give Him glory every day of our life because who He is in our life. Amen. I'm not faking it. Praise God. I realize what Jesus done for me. I realize where I was headed. My granddaddy hung me out, painted me out over hell. Amen. He showed me the fires and the flames. Pillar of smoke, praise God. He showed me the awfulness of hell as a little old boy. Amen. I realized and recognized it was an awful, awful place that I didn't want to go to. And boy, I'm glad on a Wednesday night, 1976, that the Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart. And He said, son, you don't have to die and go to hell. Man. Boy, you talk about something that stirred the heart of a little old boy. Amen. Praise God, I come out of there, I said, Lord, I don't want to die and go to hell. Lord, I believe, I trust, I'm putting my faith in You. I trust You, God. Lord Jesus, I know You died for my sins. But you know what happened that night? I realized I was a sinner. Amen. I think I knew it before. But I think I had the head knowledge. But I believe that night, Wednesday night, 1976, God gave me the heart knowledge. I think He took that an elevator moment, praise God, and took it from my head to my heart. Amen. Took it down to the ground floor where I lived and showed me I was a sinner. You say, as a little old 15-year-old boy, you didn't know nothing about sin. I won't say, as a little old 15-year-old boy, I knew just as much about sin, praise God, as I'm ever going to know. I knew that I wasn't right. I wasn't doing right. I wasn't acting right. I wasn't thinking right. And I knew God, on the good God of heaven, He was watching me. And He seen me, but I also realized on that night, praise God, that little old preacher preached, and he said, you don't have to die and go to hell. Jesus Christ, praise God, died on the cross of Calvary. He took your beating, and He died and shed His blood for your sin and mine. That little old preacher looked like a pretty good feller to me. Amen. I thought, glory be to God, if he died for his sin, and he died for my sin, praise God, I could be like him. Amen. I come out of there, praise God. I went to no fashion altar. I said, Lord, forgive me a sinner. And you know what He did? Saved me by His marvelous grace. Amen. What I got's real. What about you? Amen. But we see that during this blue rain, we'll see an unregenerated multitude. That's why Joel would say, multitude, in the valley of the city, he said, young'uns, it's decision time. I want to say, church, it's decision time. It's time to decide whose side we're on. Amen? And start making arrangement, praise God, to go His way. Amen? Amen. Go to Jesus' way. Praise God. It's far better. Amen? But we see there that they long for deliverance. These people during this time, there's going to be a whole multitude of them. Multitudes in the valley of decision. Amen. Down there in that valley, there's going to be multitudes of people that's going to say, you know what? I don't know about all this. Amen. God, as I told you this morning, He's going to judge those nations and He's going to bring in His kingdom here on earth. A ruling reign for 1,000 years. But there's going to be some people that's growing up in those decades, those ages, and they're going to like that rod of iron, praise God, that rules them during that time. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 19 and 15, He says, and out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it He shall smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. Amen. They're not going to like the smiting, and they're not going to like the ruling. Amen. I don't like that either, do you? Amen. Hey, listen, I never did like getting a whooping. I've done my dead level best. Amen. To get away from the devil, praise God, and not let him lead me into temptation, because I didn't like the wrath of God is bad. Amen. But the wrath of my mother was just about as bad. She'd tear your hide in a heartbeat. Amen. If you disobeyed her and done things that you know better to do. And boy, I appreciate that. I thank God for that. But there's a time where he's got in deliverance. That they're going to long to be delivered from that rod of iron. Can you imagine that? During this time, this millennial reign, during this most marvelous, sweet time that this world has ever known. But there's going to be people that's disgruntled. Now the Bible tells us that before the millennial reign begins to take place, that the old devil, you know, Slewfoot, the accuser of the brethren, that he's going to be cast into prison. Bible says in Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 1, he said, I saw an angel come down from heaven having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him to the bottomless pit and shut him up. Why wouldn't it, God, somebody would shut him up? Amen. Brother Larry, I'm tired of hearing what he's got to say. Amen. He ain't got nothing good to say. The Bible said he's the accuser of the brethren. He goes around accusing you and accusing me. And if we ain't careful, we'll get to listening to him. And we'll carry those dirty, deceitful lies from place to place. I pray God will be so glad when he gets shut up. Amen. Praise God. I don't like him. He don't like me either. But that's all right. He cast him on the pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, I've wondered about that. Why in the world would he have to turn him loose after 1,000 years? Amen? Because God Almighty is a just God. That's why. And so after 1,000 years, at the end of the millennial reign, Satan, the Bible says, in your hearing, that Satan will be released from prison for a season. I'm glad it don't say that he's going to be released from prison throughout eternity. Amen. He said he's going to be released for just a season. And now during this season, there's going to be rebels. These rebels are talking about these unregenerated multitudes, praise God, that grows up in this during this time. They're going to look at him as a deliverer. You say, well, preacher, it's hard to believe. Amen. Why? Because they do it now. These people that Satan worshipers, these people that follow. I seen a fellow walking down the road the other day, a fellow, man, girl, whatever it was, walking down all dressed in black with a pointy hat and had on had some kind of a plaque or something in his head, and he was going down through there, cipher on thing, and holding up for peace. I don't know what he was trying to portray, but pray God he looked like a devil to me. Amen. Following the devil, praise God, looking for the devil to deliver him. You say, what would he deliver them from? They're in the millennial reign. They're in the perfect time. They're in a time of peace and joy and harmony. They're looking, praise God, to get away free from the obligation of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to be obligated to him. Does any of this sound familiar? Does it kind of sound like the day and hour that we're living in? Nobody wants to be obligated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, pray, what about what he did for you? What about what he did for me? Praise God. I feel obligated, Brother Robert, to magnify him and lift him up and praise him, praise God, because he saved my soul from hell. Because he lived, praise God, he loved, and he died for me, Brother Larry, that I might be saved. Amen. But they said there's going to be a bunch of rebels going to raise up to obligate to do what's right. Amen. Said this morning, it's never wrong to do right. It's time to do right now. But they want to be freed from the obligation to do right. It sounds like where we're living. That's what's happening around us in our major cities today. They're rioting and looting, praise God. They want to be free from any obligation to do right. Amen. They want to be able to do what they want to, what feels good. We started that back in the late 60s, early 70s. Amen. We are trying to get away from the authority of God. Amen. You had young people was trying to get away from the authority of their parents. They was trying to get away from the authority of God. They was trying to get away from the authority of the church, of the living God. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. They didn't want to do what was right. Amen. They didn't want to be obligated. Amen. So they went to this one who offered them freedom to sin. Now, we have one today that offers us freedom from sin. Amen? And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said he's coming a day when they'll follow Satan. Praise God, they'll want the freedom to sin. Amen. You see how we're playing right into this end time thing? How we're seeing it. It's just like a movie. It's like the little Jewish boy told me one time. He said, I see the Lord and what's happening, what's transpiring in the life and land of the Jew. He said, it's just like a movie that's playing out. It's rolling. I said, where are we at it? He said, we've done watched the film. We've watched the credits and it's rolling around and it's right at the end, but it's showing a bunch of numbers before it runs off the reel. Amen. I believe that's where we're at today, church. Praise God. We're looking at the soon coming Savior, and we're looking at a bunch of unregenerate, ungodly people that'll want to be delivered from the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, I want to be delivered to the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to be delivered from Christ's authority. Amen. I want Christ's authority to be all over me. I want him to lead and guide, direct me. I want him to show me the way. I want him to be the way. I want him to direct me in the way. I want him to focus me on the way. I want him to touch my mind, my heart, my attitude. Amen. I want him to do it a little more every day. I want to be able to give myself to him a little more every day. I'm not talking about feigned obedience. Praise God, I want to give him unfeigned obedience, Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, I've got the real thing and I want to worship a real God. But they want to get away from him. A whole lot of people in this world, you understand what the situation is that we're living in. Amen. They want to congregate as far from the central glory of Christ as they can, even during the millennial reign. Amen. So we see it begin to place, praise God. You see them begin to congregate around what we might call as the Antichrist. Amen. That's not Christ at all. People's wanting to congregate around him. They're wanting to remember the days of old, the way it used to be. Some old tongue wagging thing will say, "Yeah, you know, before Jesus come along, let me tell you what we used to do." Bragging on what the devil done. I mean, hey, listen, I know what the devil done. I know what the devil could do. I know the devil, how he tried to play havoc on my life. I know the things that he talked and coerced me into doing. He didn't have to work at it too hard. Amen. I know all about him. I know all about his tactics. Praise God, I'm going to stay away from that. But they was looking at the time when, in a former age, amen, when God Almighty was dethroned. You say, how was he dethroned? He was dethroned in the human mind. Does that sound familiar? And he was dethroned in the human heart. And you look around us today. The wickedness that we're seeing in the day and hour we live, there's no essence of godliness anywhere in it. Amen. It's people just doing what they do, praise God, living a lascivious lifestyle, doing the things, amen, that's just pleasing to their self, pleasing, living for the moment, living for right here, right now. Never thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're looking at that time when God is dethroned. Or they think he was. I won't say God has never left his throne. Praise God. He's always been there on his throne. Amen. When the spirit of Antichrist, the devil, praise God. Hey, think about when he was loose in the world. Oh, it was a better place. Although they had them a time, they partied and they done those things that the flesh liked. And they got excited about the things of the world. And got excited about the ball games and the things that they was able to attend. The things they was able to do. The things they was able to watch. I want to say glory to God. God's about took that out of the picture. Amen. God will get it. Hey, he get us where we ain't got nothing to look at but him. Ain't got nothing to, nobody to look to but him. Amen. All the Hollywood stars is taken out of the way and made of no consequences. Amen. The big names, amen, is on at the box office. All of a sudden, they're nobody at all. They're irrelevant to, praise God, to the situation that we're in. I don't know about you, but for me, that makes me look toward God. Amen. Look to that homecoming time. Praise God, it's right around the bend. But they begin to wonder. They begin to turn to the devil. They begin to turn to Satan. It's loose. They begin to turn to that spirit of Antichrist. The Bible says it's already in the world. Amen. Now, praise God, I'm glad that they had a feigned obedience during this time. I'm glad, glory to God, I'm glad I've got a true unfeigned obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ because I believe and trust in Him. The Bible tells us there's a time of when they'll be rejoicing. Amen. Not in the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Bible says that they'll be, Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 says that, Brother Jeff, one day in a little while, they'll be rejoicing in Gog and Magog. You think about it. Amen. When these communist nations, when they'll be saying, oh, man, they got it a whole lot better than we got it. Well, if we could just be like them. Now you think about it. The Lord Jesus Christ is ruling with a rod of iron, praise God. Everything is perfect. Amen? As perfect as it can be in a human society. You know, did you know humanity, if left to itself, would destroy the whole world? Amen? Humanity left to itself would destroy the whole world. But praise God, there's a God of heaven. I'm glad He don't leave us to ourselves. I'm glad He's there, praise God, to help us through this thing. Amen. They'll be looking to Gog and Magog. They'll be looking at the trespasses, the iniquity, praise God, the ungodliness of the whole world. And they'll be saying, you know, that looks better than what we've got. And I tell you what, there's nothing better than being a child of God in the house of God, worshiping the living God. Amen. But the Bible says these disgruntled, unregenerated, God-hating, God-despiser, God-rejecting, authority-hating rebels, there'll be a time when they'll gather up and they'll march upon Jerusalem. And they'll march upon the very place, praise God, where Lord Jesus Christ is. Amen. Can you imagine that? The boldness that it'll take, amen, to try an all-out assault on the Lord Jesus Christ and Him sitting on His throne. Amen. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. But they'll rise up with the power and the help of the devil. Amen. Lucifer will slew foot. Praise God. And they'll march upon the city. Amen. They'll come upon there. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, the Bible says, when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. How much is that? That's a lot. But He said He's going to gather them up. He said there's going to be that many people, multitudes. Joel says, in the valley of decision, it's time to make a decision for eternity. But we want to make a decision for today or tomorrow or next week, but we don't want to make a decision for eternity. But it's just our eternal soul that's dependent on it. Amen. I mean, it ain't like it's nothing important. Just your eternal soul depends on your decision you make to follow Christ, to love Christ, to allow Him to be your Lord, the King of kings and the Lord of lords in your heart. Joel says it's time to make a decision. He said the Lord is coming, praise God. It's time to be ready. Amen. But the devil comes out and he deceives and he deceives. He's a great deceiver. He deceives people all the time. He makes them think, praise God, that that God don't really mean what He says. But I won't say God says what He means, and He means what He says. Amen. Praise God, you can take it to the bank, you can trust on it. But He says that they'll rise up and they'll march on Jerusalem. Amen. He said that in verse number 9 of chapter 20 of Revelation, He said, they went on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. But now watch this. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Amen. God said when the resistance gets big, when the resistance, praise God, he said the devil's going to come. He said they're going to gather up multitudes, and he's going to bring them against that little nation. He's going to bring them against the God of heaven. Praise God, he's going to bring them against the throne of God itself. And said when he does, the God of the throne is going to step back and said with the word of his mouth, he's going to consume them with fire. Burn them up. Amen. Poof! They're gone. Amen. They're gone. In a moment, in a twinkling, praise God, it's going to be over. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. He said, so there's going to be fire coming. Now Peter talked about this. Let me see if I can find it right quick. Let me just show you. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, but not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heaven shall be on fire, shall be dissolved, and elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. All that's right is going to be there in that beautiful place. Praise God. But He said that fire's going to come down. When that judgment comes down, praise God, Armageddon takes place, and God Almighty destroys the devil and the demons of hell. The beast and the false prophet already cast in the lake of fire. Satan's going to be brought out of there, praise God, and he's going to be judged by God Almighty as he draws out all these folks, these disgruntled rebels out of the millennial kingdom. Praise God, and God's going to, once and for all, he's going to send down fire, praise God, and he's going to kill that bunch, burn them up, and he's going to melt the earth and the heavens with a fervent heat, praise God, that He might purge it with fire and make it new. Amen. When He gets done, Brother David, it's going to be a perfect place. Amen. All the sin will be purged out of it. All the sin will be gone. Amen. Satan, the accuser, be cast in the lake of fire. Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 10. He said, the devil that seed him was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Praise God. The devil is going to be cast into the lake of fire. What does that mean? Praise God. It means that his career has ended. Amen. The devil's career is going to be over. Praise God. What it means is his position is terminated. Amen. No longer exists, is no longer an option. Glory be to God. The devil is going to be taken out of the way. Amen. Feigned obedience. But I want to say, praise God, tonight on authority of God's Word, I have unfeigned obedience. It's not made up. It's not fake, praise God. I love Him. I serve Him. I try to do, praise God, what He tells me to do because I love Him with all my heart. Amen. I want to serve Him. I want to be pleasing to Him. I won't want to, listen, we don't want to do anything that'll break the heart of God. We want to be found well pleasing to Him. Amen. Brother Jeff, I want to be obedient to God in all that I do and all that I say. And Brother Larry, all that I think, I want to be pleasing to God. I don't want to think anything. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to do anything that'll break my God's heart. Break the heart of my Lord. That'll make Him sad. Amen. I want to have all that, praise God, that peace, joy. Amen. I want to be in unfeigned obedience to Him. What do you say, Pastor Jeff? I said all that to say this. I don't want my life for Jesus Christ to be a fake. I want my life for Jesus Christ to be the real thing. Amen. Not act like a Christian. Amen. I want to be a Christian. Christ-like. Amen. So that I can give Him glory and praise forevermore. Amen. Because I realize I can't do it by myself. But Scott, it's going to take the Lord Jesus Christ in my life to help me to be what He wants me to be. It's going to take the Lord to help me to be obedient unto Him. Unfeigned obedience to God is going to be Christ in my life and Christ in your life. He's the one that's going to make a difference in you, and He's going to make a difference in me. If during the millennial reign, if during the millennium, there's going to be people that's disgruntled with religion, amen, how can we think we could be any better now? I won't say there's a lot of people in the world today that's disgruntled against religion. I won't say that a religion has sent more people to hell than anything. Amen. But praise God, the Word of the God, the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit in you living in your heart, amen, He makes all the difference. Amen. He gives us direction. He gives us a purpose. He shows us His plan. And He just begins to work His plan and His ambitions for us out for us in us. He gives us direction. He'd have us to go. And when He said, when we're obedient to Him, praise God, He said, He makes all the difference. Not me, not you, but Him. All that we are because of Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Praise God. Unfeigned obedience. Not feigned obedience. Amen. Not faking it. But praise God, the real thing is Jesus in my heart. Amen. I've been saved by the marvelous grace of God. Saved from hell, saved for Christ. Saved throughout the ages. Amen. Praise God. One of these days, in a little while, we're going to go out here, Brother Larry, going to go be with Him. Amen. Through the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's made a way. Amen. Praise God. And because His saving grace, because the way He made is real, praise God, I'm going to live for Him a real life pleasing to my God. Amen.